This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, LFG, it is game day. It is game day. Let's get this thing started. I will make you one promise. I'll make you one promise right now.
Just one?
Just one.
All right.
I'm not going to make you a lot of promises. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen on the show. No promises, except for one. I won't call it a must win.
Okay.
I won't call it a must win.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Because you know that's definitely a trigger word for me in week six in the National Football League.
It's also two words. But anyway, yes, I do know that. And you're also factually correct.
Then again, numbers are just numbers, I'm being told.
No, numbers are numbers unless they're my numbers.
Gotcha. Numbers are numbers. And numbers are numbers.
Exactly. Unless I give you the numbers and then they're numbers.
Totally.
Did that make sense to everybody? It made perfect sense to me.
It does now. And the way he says it and, you know, the whole thing was just hilarious.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I didn't know what the hell was happening and neither did they. They actually went to the caller with his name. And they're like, all right, let's go to Jim. He's in Santa Clara or whatever the hell it was. He's like, this is not Jim. This is Mark Willard. And the next, and then that's what unfolded. I was like, what the hell is happening over there right now? Little did I know, other people are in the back room putting together montages to come after you, too.
Yeah.
It's
good, rough day for afternoon
good,
drive.
Good Thursday vibes around here.
It is.
I love it.
And
come
I think
on. It's a big day.
I mean, it takes the edge off the nervous energy because you said you are like quietly optimistic or
cautiously
optimistic. I apologize. I am nervously optimistic because, you know, you are going to Seattle and the crowd on a Thursday night is going to be lathered and ready. And it's not an easy place to play,
no
matter what the matchup is or how good you are, or how they're mediocre or whatever.
No, it's not an easy game. Yeah, it's a division game. It's the Seattle Seahawks, who are not great, but they're not a joke around the league either. You know, they're 3-2 and the 49ers are not a juggernaut. And as Ron Rivera told us yesterday, they're missing a piece of their identity. You know what I mean? Like, I get where people look at the offense and go, it's good enough. They've scored enough. They've gotten leads. Purdy's playing well. You've got your receivers. And Jordan Mason is putting up great numbers. How can that not be enough? But it's an interesting point that he brings up, which it's also like it's a core piece. And so whatever you're doing, I do think that the 49ers, and this is an interesting point that he made yesterday, which is they can function, they can score, they can get first downs, they can move the ball, it doesn't mean they're in their comfort zone. So I think that's what he was getting at. And so maybe, especially when it comes to what we've seen in the red zone, maybe we should be accounting for that a little bit more. Do you know what I mean? Like, they sort of feel like you feel when you start a job for the first 2 weeks. I love this job. This job's going great. Now, where's the bathroom? I don't even know. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're a little out of sorts. And I would argue that in some quarters, not all, that's kind of how they've looked so far this year.
A little bit. And I think that the red zone is the number one area where you feel like you are missing it the most. And I'm just looking at last year, and I glanced at the number, and I had forgotten how big the number was. Do you realize that he scored 21 touchdowns last year?
There's a reason he's the number one overall pick in everybody's fantasy
draft.
Dude,
he scored 21 touchdowns.
He's out of his mind.
And I'm counting. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18 of them came in the red zone. Only 3 touchdowns were greater than 20 yards, which would indicate that those touchdowns were outside the red zone.
Yes.
So we want to talk about red zone inefficiency. Look no further than not having number 23, who scored 21, 18 of which were red zone touchdowns.
But they got to figure it out, because I would argue, like, you're going to play, I think, I don't know this, this is not a report, I think you're going to play at least 3 more games without him. And they're huge games.
I think it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, it might be. It might be. But I think in their back of their mind, they at least have to have that as what's very, very probable, at least 3 more games without him. And I think for any 49er fan to sort of feel comfortable about the second half of the season, you're going to have to win at least 2 of those 3. So by no stretch is this either of us saying that the Niners therefore have an excuse to not figure it out. They got to figure it out. They got to figure it out. And I really do. I feel, yes, cautiously, but optimistic that tonight's the night. And I know that we've now fallen into, because of the stats, it's like, okay, in November they're good. Well, here's what I would argue about the Kyle Shanahan 49ers in the last 5 years. Not the whole era, but the last 5 years, once they got good. I would argue that the 49ers, largely in the regular season, figure it out, not based on a date, but when they have to. They have been very, very good when it comes to, dude, chop chop, it is time to figure it out. Now, I don't know if that means you can just snap your fingers and figure it out, but I'm just, without anything in front of me, I'm thinking about a lot of big moments over the last 5 years where you went into a game with this feeling that we all have right now. This feeling where it's like, dude, you guys have got to play well tonight. You've got to do it. I can't think of one of those that they didn't go win. Can you?
I mean, probably not. I mean, in terms of the great import, and I'm looking at 2022 right now when they were 3-4, and that was the Jimmy's getting bench game.
Yes, and against the Rams,
they
right?
They went to LA and won that game, and the Rams had to go to a silent count.
Wasn't that here? I thought that was here.
I'm showing it at L.A.
Okay, you're probably right.
Week 8, October 30th, again, before Halloween, but that was a game that you won going into the bye, and then you came out of the bye, and you won all the games.
All of them.
Your next loss was when Brock's arm fell off at Philadelphia. So that's a game where you had to figure it out, and the game at the end of the season, I think it was 2021, right, when they had to go out there and win the last game.
You're blending seasons here, because the Monday night against the Rams, Jimmy's about to get benched game. Jimmy didn't get benched when Brock played. Jimmy got hurt when Brock played against Miami. I think it's the year before. Jimmy was about to get benched for Trey Lance.
Correct. They were 3-5.
Yes.
That was a home game.
Yes, and they were playing on a Monday night, and Jimmy was going to lose his gig if they didn't win that game, and they went out and won by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, 2022 was when they went to the Rams at 3-4.
Yes.
And they won that game.
Yes, and I think of the last game of the regular season when Jimmy took them to the NFC Championship game with a drive in the fourth quarter to win that football game. I even sort of put last year's game in Philadelphia in this bucket, where you're like, hey, you got some demons that you need to exercise here. No, it wasn't a must win. They were 8-3.
Yeah.
But it was certainly a must win if you wanted home field advantage, and they put a lot on it. Like, that's maybe the more important point.
Right.
They put a lot on it, and they came out and they played great. And I think that they, as far as regular season games, that game in Philly last year was the last time that the Niners put this much importance on a football game, and they were great, and the next time they do that is tonight.
I would say the Baltimore game on Christmas, they put that much into it because that was a Super Bowl preview in many people's eyes, and it almost was, and it probably should have been if Baltimore didn't decide not to run the ball in the AFC playoffs. And
it's interesting.
That is a game, I think, that they put this much into it because it was a primetime holiday nation's eyes on you showdown and a possible Super Bowl preview.
But they didn't need it. They clearly
turned out they didn't need it.
Yeah, they won. They had the one seed anyway. Like I get what you're saying.
Well, I don't think the Philadelphia game for me doesn't qualify either because they were already rolling. And looking back, it only feels bigger because Philadelphia was broken in that game.
Okay, agree to disagree based on the fact that A, it was clear that home field advantage was off the table if you lost that game, but more so, they very much wanted to avenge the situation that had happened in Philadelphia the year before. I'm basing a lot of this even on the documentary that many of us watched in the offseason, and you could see the ramp up to that Eagles game where the 49ers were emotionally charged. The game against the Ravens, I think we put that on there because remember, we were like, MVP, who wants it? This quarterback or that quarterback? It's Christmas. It's a Super Bowl preview. But at the same time, the Niners didn't have the one seed on the line. Like, I hear them in the locker room this week saying, not a must win, but must win. I hear them saying that. And so, like, I hear where you're coming from. I really do. But I would argue in the games that they've sort of done that, in the Kyle Shanahan last 5 years, the games where they've walked in and been like, we have got to win tonight, they have done very, very well. So I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that, and I'm going to trust that even though there are still people out and there are X's and O's reasons to be concerned tonight, there's no question about that, I'm going to believe until I see otherwise that the 49ers are going to find a pitch at least that's good enough to get Seattle to swing and miss tonight.
Well, they should be able to do that no matter how big the game is because they're better than Seattle. And we can get into the pick and deeper thoughts when we decide to fade the Dibbers later in the program. But just look at the injury report and you're going to have Kittle. He's going to play and Fred Warner is going to play, even though Fred is probably still a little bit dinged up. Seattle's injury report is almost 2 pages long and they're coming off a game where, you know, they lost to the Giants and they had a chance to tie it with a minute left, but they look a little discombobulated in their approach offensively. Having talked to the old Dave Softy Mahler yesterday from up there in Seattle, normally he's a lot more cocky and self-confident going into these games, and he is cautiously pessimistic, I would say, about Seattle's chances in this football game.
Yeah,
tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you watch, and again, this is what all of us do, we don't really, unless you're one of these crazy NFL fans, none of us can claim to have wonderful knowledge of the opponent. You and I watch a lot of football. I watch a lot of Red Zone, and Red Zone does not show you the entire game. But if you do dive into the results and the performances of the Seattle Seahawks so far this year, they're fine. They're fine. I would argue they've not had any games yet where you came away and went, that was impressive. And maybe you'd feel that way by the Niners, too. I was on opening night. On opening night, I walked out of there and I went, that was impressive.
Yeah, they dominated that team.
And no Christian McCaffrey.
Well, that team turns out to not be as good as what we thought going into that game.
I guess. That's fair.
And they've now fired their head coach and demoted their offensive coordinator, sure, which I thought would have been the smarter move. But it's clear that the quarterback wanted a new head coach and he wanted a new play caller. So the Jets are in a certain amount of turmoil at 2-3.
I think this is sort of a simplistic day as far as our conversation with you. Let's just kind of get the energy going toward the game and find out how you're feeling. How you're feeling. Whether you want to say that's confidence or worry or whatever word you would pick. How are you feeling as we approach this one? None of us thought that in week 6 we would have this amount of angst about a football game. But here we are, and we do. So we wonder how you're feeling. Let's go to Skills in Vallejo. Hi, Skills. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me, Willard and Dibs. Let me just preface this real quick by saying, no, this is no disrespect to anyone who's ever battled addiction, but I was originally going to call in and say the 49ers been playing like they just did crack. Then I remember that crack keeps you awake for days at a time. What the 49ers are doing is actually more like sleepwalking, which is how a caller from the Morning Roast described them the other day. And Brian Baldinger was right, too. They've been playing slow. Something is off. And it's almost like they're thinking to themselves, hey, we always start bad. We'll turn on when we have to. And maybe they're right. Maybe they'll run off 8 in a row. But I don't see it. I mean, those previous teams, they weren't ravaged by injuries and the internal IU crap to the same level that this team is. Losing 4 out of 6 meaningful games if you go back to the Super Bowl. And I'll just leave you guys with this. If Seattle wins tonight, it's time for John Lynch to start rolling heads. Because if your socks are dirty, do you keep wearing them just because there's no clean ones in the drawer? That's a resounding no for me, dog.
Skills, can you give us a little bit more about what that means, though? Like
which head would roll?
Yeah, if they lose, what is it exactly you'd like the organization to do?
You got to start with that defensive line. It depends on how they lose tonight. The defensive line has been a big disappointment.
Yep.
And I know you just can't. You got to look and see what you can do to make changes on that line. See if you can bring in some safety, make some changes to safety. Just do something different than what you've been doing because it's not working.
Skills, thanks. First of all, he's right. Like, not all losses are built the same. So if it were to happen tonight, you got to look at that.
Let's say if they lose the same way that they've lost the last two games, which is running back in a game that you were unable to put away starts to gash you in the second half. James Conner, Kyren Williams, they both had pretty good second halves against a defense that has looked a little bit vanilla.
And you got a very good running back on this team tonight. A
couple of them.
Kenneth Walker's fantastic.
Yeah, 5 carries last week. He should be fresh. Yeah. But if you look
a lot of catches, but yes.
If this loss goes the way that loss, the last couple of losses have gone, then I don't think heads will roll, but you got real hard questions to ask.
Well, what are your options?
You have any option. You can fire the defensive coordinator. No, you can flip-flop. Like, you can do a lot of different things.
Right, but
is that the solution? No.
At some level, the same way, none of you think the Jets are fixed. They made heads roll, and no one's like, oh, now they're going to win. So in other words, no matter what you think about any coach, no matter what anybody's opinion about any coach is, the personnel is a very large piece of what's going on. So if that group that you're talking about goes out and performs poorly tonight, from a personnel standpoint, your options are what?
Your options are to change out the coordinator if you think that is going to jumpstart the room, which is what the Jets have done. And I would argue that the Jets are a better team today than they were 2 days ago.
I don't know how we know that.
Well,
I mean,
it seems like their quarterback is happier, and it seems like their offense is going to be going in a different direction, and it's his direction. So I would think that the Jets are going to start playing better on offense.
I don't know about that. I mean,
personnel-wise, there's nothing you can do, really.
Okay.
Although Matt Barrows had a piece in The Athletic about a possible trade target where you would bring in a defensive end, much like they did last year, and so that's something you can do ahead of the deadline. You can bring in new players. You've done it before.
Sure. I don't know if this is something that's going to happen in the next 10 days before Mahomes gets to town. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that you're optionless. I just think, especially early in a season, I feel when things aren't going well, teams would rather try to sort of like tweak and make adjustments with what they do have rather than start firing people, and firing, I even mean by the players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is one move that you can make. I don't know if they'll make it tonight, but, like, would you bench Devondre Campbell and put D. Winters in there?
Well, you'd like to, but D. Winters has not shown the ability to make it through an entire game.
That's a fair response.
And Devondre Campbell, he played 100% of the snaps against Arizona. So what we think of Devondre Campbell is different than what they think and different than what Greg Cosell thinks, because Greg Cosell is somebody who thinks he's playing pretty well.
Well, I don't know what the 49ers think, because as you just said, like, that, I don't know what other options there are. You know, the 49ers would love to put Dre Greenlaw in. That's what they'd like to do.
Yep.
Not on the table. Maybe it will be a little bit later. But that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, you somewhere along the line here, and yes, you can do things schematically. You can tweak. You can tighten. All of that is true. But the Niners they have are going to have to play better football. They're just that like they're going, or else it's not going to be a good year.
Yeah,
they're going to have to play better. And the point I guess I'm trying to make is in the past that yes, different people, but this team with this base of a coaching staff has done that before. You know, Ron Rivera kept telling us yesterday, like these first 5 games, 6 games, 7 games, as a coach, you're figuring out, okay, what works well, what doesn't work well, where do I need to make some moves? You know, we are a little bit too, or maybe not far removed enough from a 5-0 start and sort of like think that that's the way it's supposed to start. It usually doesn't. I get that in their Super Bowl years it has, but it usually does not just start out that easy.
But they should be 4-1.
They should be.
And they're not. So, correct. Which makes tonight all the more important because you're not. If you were 4-1, this game would not have the same level of need. Because, yeah, you lose your 4-2, you're still leading the division if you hadn't lost those other 2 games.
Correct, yeah. And then again, you're leading the division if you play well in 3 hours.
Yep.
On Wednesday, October 16th, that's next week, broadcasting live from John Madden's studio. How about that? And we'll remember the great John Madden. Members of his family will be there. Steve Mariucci will be there. He joins us at 3. You'll be able to hear long-lost recordings of John's KCBS performances, food and drink included, and your chance to buy Mornings with Madden, the book by Stan Bunger. Private event, but tickets available. Eventbrite.com and search Madden, and you can join us there. Let's take your calls. 888-957-9570. Where would you put your confidence level that the 49ers are going to bounce back tonight? Let's take your calls next on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
I don't want to like just look this up sort of
willy-nilly.
Well, like live.
On the fly?
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Well, a lot of us will know it off the top of our heads, right? 5-0 last year to start the year.
Yeah.
The year before that, they were both 2-3 and 3-4. Okay?
Yeah.
And then went to the NFC title game.
Sure.
That's 2022. In 2021, that's the year you just mentioned, they won their first 2 games, then they lost 4 in a row.
Yeah.
5 of 6. They were 3-5. Went to the NFC title game. And then the year before that, they were also 2-3. Now, that ended up being a very bad year. That's the year that that Jimmy missed the entire second half of the season. But Jimmy was in there for portions of their 2-3 start. So this really isn't that out of character. It's really not that out of character. And for me, especially when you bake in, and this is, I think, an important thing that Skills just said a short time ago, like, I wonder how much this matters to you all. I know at the end of the story, it doesn't matter at all. But in this moment, how much does it matter to you the way the 49ers lose a game?
A lot.
Okay.
It matters a lot because you aren't getting beat. You've been beaten once this year. Minnesota beat you. It was a road game. Minnesota is better than everyone thought, including you. You thought they'd be good, and they're better than that. They're undefeated.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd be 5-0.
I don't think that they're going to go 17-0, but Darnold is good. Justin Jefferson's amazing, and their defense with an unbelievable defensive coordinator is nasty. That's a good team. So you went to Minnesota, you got beat. You went to L.A., which is a virtual home game. It's a VHG, and you spit the bit, horse racing term. You gacked it away, Gagasaurus Rex, and you lost. And then you have Arizona at home in a get-right spot, and you beat New England, whatever. And Arizona, you repeated, rinse and repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat. You gacked it away. You made mistakes. You looked like slop. And so it's because of the way you've lost that is so alarming. And then you add to it the injuries and, you know, the perspective of now taking on Seattle. And what if you're 0-4 in the conference and 0-3 in the division? So who you lost to, how you lost to them, all those things are big factors.
Well, you know, it's funny because you're just talking about Minnesota. So I just looked at this. Now, you know me. I don't want to get into November and December. I have no idea who's healthy, who's playing. I don't know what's going to happen to the Vikings.
Yeah.
But if you do want to play a game on paper, because what place did the Vikings come in last year? Do you remember in the NFC North? What like, obviously Detroit won it.
Yeah, what, I think they were third.
Wasn't Green Bay
Green
second?
Bay made the playoffs. So
listen to this third place schedule. Now, yeah. I'd argue
Minnesota was 7-10, tied with Chicago.
So they've already beaten the 49ers, the Texans, and the Packers at Lambeau.
Three playoff teams from last year.
So you can't say that it's been an easy schedule through their first five, and they're 5-0. And their next game, they will host. They've got a bye this week. Their next game, they will host the Detroit Lions. Also, very difficult, and we don't know if they'll win it or lose it. But then listen to what happens after that. I mean, they go to the Rams. And then they host the Colts, and then they go to the Jags, and then they go to the Titans, and then they go to the Bears, and then they host the Cardinals, and then they host the Falcons, and then they host the Bears, and then they go to Seattle, then they host the Packers and go to Detroit, last two games. The point I'm getting at, if the Vikings continue to look like they currently look, and if they are blessed with some health, and maybe some of you have already done this, I think you can totally adjust what the goal is for the 49ers this season. Forget the one seed. Forget it.
Well, you're four games behind Minnesota.
Exactly.
Three in a tiebreak.
And listen to that schedule. Yep. I don't know if there are four losses on it. There might be.
Well, Chicago's, you know, pretty good.
They're okay.
Their division is not going to be a cakewalk,
Look, it's the NFL. They may end up losing eight games. I have no idea what's going to happen around the corner. But this is not a schedule that is dotted like the 49ers schedule is, with the Chiefs and the Cowboys and the Packers and the Bills and the, you know, the all of this stuff that the Niners are going to have to go through the Lions. So I think you're squarely focused on win the NFC West, and you take an early season step toward that if you can dot your I's and cross your T's and play well tonight.
Yep. And according to the look-ahead lines that we were referencing yesterday, Minnesota is underdog in eight of those games after the bye.
What?
According to the look-ahead lines, they're underdog against the Rams on the road, 3.5, at Jacksonville, 3.5, Chicago, 3.5.
I wonder if you're right. I wonder if those don't adjust.
Yeah.
There's no way the Vikings are dogs to the Jags.
I could see them being dogs to Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago's, you know, better than you think.
At Soldier, sure. They're tough. Their
defense is good.
Dogs
against Detroit in the last game of the year.
Sure,
but
that's fine, too. That's fine, too. But against the Jags, get out of here.
Seriously.
Come on. That's not a thing.
I do look at, you know, the Niners and the number one seed, and even if you win this game and you get to 3-3, well, then now you're just 3.5 back of Minnesota. You don't even think about any seeding yet. Right now you're just trying to think about, can we still win the West? And if you lose tonight and you're 2-4, well, you're still able to win the West, but now you're 2 back of Seattle, 3 back if you count the tiebreaker, 0-3 in the division. It becomes a little bit more difficult in all the tiebreakers.
No doubt. You know the word that's just like bouncing around in my head right now, like a caged animal? The word is trust. It's bouncing around in my head. And I'm curious, because maybe this is the conversations that you and I have directly had the honor of having, like we do each week, you know, people who really like were in the game or are in the game or whatever. But when I think about, for example, Greg Cosell going, you don't, like the Niners didn't forget how to play football, right? And I hear Mike Holmgren go, guys, it's injuries. And I hear Ron Rivera go, their identity's missing and they're going to get it back. And the season is just starting. And then you look at all the times the 49ers have started 2-3 or 3-5. And then you look at all the times they've gone to Seattle with a lot on the line just the last 3 or 4 years. The same thing has happened every time. Yet my feeling in this moment is there are a lot of people out there that don't trust that the 49ers are okay or that they're going to figure it out or that this is going to take a positive turn. Even though for 5 years running now, outside of your quarterback getting hurt, it's kind of done nothing but that every year. That's like the only thing the 49ers have done.
But last year, everyone was healthy, and including your quarterback, who didn't miss a game, and you had McCaffrey was healthy. Debo missed a game. McCaffrey missed, what, one game? Trent missed one game.
I don't even think McCaffrey...
No, Trent missed a game. Well, Debo missed a game. Yeah. That's it.
Christian missed a game because at the end of the year, they pulled everybody.
Right. Yeah. Dre and Fred and Nick, all the one-name guys, all were healthy. And this year, you're not healthy.
But that's just last year. They've dealt with stuff like this before. They've certainly dealt with stuff like this before.
Yeah, and they've had seasons where they played better down the stretch. And so it's not about trust. They might do it if they get healthy. Even if they lose tonight, they still might be able to go out there and beat Kansas City. You're allowed to beat Kansas City.
Yes, they are. I checked.
Dallas, and you've got other games after the bye. And after the bye, they've seemed to be pretty good. You get healthy, and you get that break, and their bye comes at a good spot. So, yeah, it's not out of the question, but it feels like this team, this group, and every team is different. This team feels different to me. It doesn't seem to me that defensively you have the same level of depth, and your front is not... I don't think that your front four is as good as it has been in previous years.
That's fine. But I guess here's what I'm getting at. Like, when I hear you say that, you're talking about right now. But what I'm trying to stop myself from doing is taking the frustration of these first five games and projecting it. This means XYZ for later in the year. I have no problem if you want to say that the Niners, what word do you want to use? Disappointing? Do you want to use ineffective? Do you want to use concerning? Do you want to do any of that? But here's what I would push back against. And I know the guys played a lot of the sound on Steiny and Goo. Ben Solak joined them earlier today. And
who's Ben Solak?
He's Ben Solak, NFL analyst.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you said it like I should have known who that was.
Not you.
I'm not trying to be like an annoying partner. I'd never heard of
Ben,
Scott Zolak, I know.
Scott Zolak. He screams
Ben Solak.
Things. Yeah, Scott Zolak screams things in Patriot games.
Right.
He's the one who goes,
Jupiter!
Show ponies!
To all that
Yeah,
stuff.
Like all that stuff.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. Thank you for checking me, because I'm sure plenty of you are like, who's Ben Solak?
He joined ESPN in 2024 as a national NFL analyst.
National NFL analyst.
All right.
ESPN, Ben Solak. Okay,
thank you.
So the guys had him on, and listen to what, to me, sounds like you're pulling out a Sharpie and defining the 49ers by these first five games.
Here's the nature of things. It's the NFL. It's not for long. That's what the letters stand for. It is so hard to be good year over year. And Niners fans know this because Kyle's been excellent and the offense has been great, but they have these 8-8 years. They have their injury years where they go 4-12, right? Like, it's really consistent. It's really hard to go to the Super Bowl, lose, and then just be back at the top of the NFC the very next year. Like, the elite quarterbacks can do it, but if you don't have an elite guy, then it's just really challenging. You know, some cracks start to show in the facade a little bit. So for me, I think the Niners are a playoff team. I don't think they're an NFC powerhouse, and I think that the NFC is largely a mess right now. I don't know if anybody's an NFC powerhouse, so maybe they get hot, lay down the season, and make another run, but this isn't the same team that they were, I think, last year or a couple years ago. I think that you're starting to see just the attrition of trying to hold together one roster and pay everybody. You're starting to see that accumulate on them.
Hak Tua, I spit that out.
Oh, look
yeah,
at you.
That is, first of all, that's riddled with inaccuracies. And second of all,
his opinion about the quarterback?
Well, he said they have all these 8-8 years. And then they have, no, they don't.
They've never gone 8-8.
They've never gone 8-8.
They have 6-10.
They have been bad when they lost their quarterback. Period. Moving on.
Well, they were bad early.
And then he's certainly indicating, now, if you want to be good every year, that's for teams that have an elite quarterback.
Yeah, and that's what bugs you.
Ben, I'm sorry, what are you saying? Please expand.
You know what he's saying. Well, he's saying that Brock Purdy is not an elite quarterback.
And therefore, I am going to push back, and I am going to reject the opinion that he's throwing out there. He is stating that this should have been expected, that a regression is the way it works in the NFL. The NFL stands for not for long, which is a fun phrase that everyone likes to use, but I can give you all kinds of examples to the opposite. What do you mean the NFL stands for not for long? There are a bunch of teams that go through a decade of playing very well.
Well, forget a decade. I mean,
sometimes two.
It's not even about a decade. It's about 3 years or 5 years, whatever you want to look at. And since 2022, the Niners have the third best record in football. They're 27-12 in the last 3 years. And the Chiefs are 30-9. So
wonder why.
Yeah. Good quarterback. The Eagles are 27-11, and the Bills are 27-11.
I guess maybe this is what I'm saying. If you're in the NFL and you have who you think is a pick your number, you want to do top seven, you want to do top nine, whatever. If you've got a really good quarterback.
Yeah, forget the rankings. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
If you've got a really good quarterback and he plays all the games, then you win most of your games. Period. Look around the league. When are the the Ravens are not going to be as good? Yes, they are.
26-13.
The Ravens are going to be fantastic. The Chiefs are 5-0. Wow, the Texans are in first. Who saw that coming? The Bills are in first. No way. You don't say. Like the 49ers have one of those guys. You can argue that, and I know plenty of you will, but that's my thought. You know, the Falcons are suddenly better this year. What happened? They brought in a good quarterback. Like, that's all the Niners need is for Brock Purdy to play all the games. And if he plays all the games, that doesn't mean you automatically get 13 wins, but I'd argue you probably automatically get 10.
Well, maybe 9, based on the two you've given away, because maybe. I do believe that their updated win total right now is 9.5. They're over-under.
That's interesting.
Because of the two that they kicked away, and I think it started the year at 11, so those are games that you would have looked at and counted as wins, but it's interesting the idea of putting it down in Sharpie, because you can't put anything in football down in Sharpie based on the injury threat. So what can you look at?
Right, but I gave that qualifier.
Down in Sharpie, like, you can put Kyle Shanahan in Sharpie that he's a really good head coach.
I actually do think you can put it down in Sharpie if those guys I named stay healthy. So, yes,
well, that's
right.
Why you can't put it in Sharpie, in my opinion.
But that was the statement I made, was if those guys that I just all named, those teams, if their quarterback plays 17 games, you're going to the playoffs. Period.
Possibly.
The Texans are going. The Ravens are going. The Chiefs are going. They're going to go.
Well, those are the teams Lions, that are, like, the Chiefs are 5-0, so they still have the wiggle room to have a couple of games like the Niners did. The Niners don't have that wiggle room anymore.
Accurate. But what I'm getting at is this is a longer haul than what it feels like in this moment. And to the point that Ben is making, which is essentially, hey, nothing lasts in the NFL. Should have known. Niners aren't going to be as good. I'm sorry, Ben. I don't agree. There's something absolutely that lasts every time in the NFL. If you have a really good quarterback and he plays all the games, you go to the playoffs. Look at the Bengals. When now they may be the thing that would be a great rebuttal to what I'm saying. I don't know where they're going to go, but in Joe Burrow's career, it's been very clear. If he's there, they're going to dance a little bit. When he gets hurt, which has been a lot, they don't. Now, this year, they're 1-4 and he's healthy. So maybe that's the thing that fights what I'm saying, because I think he's a really good quarterback.
They're an odd situation because their defense is a problem. But think about other teams that we know. For example, Dallas, they've made it 3 straight years. Their quarterback is good.
Yep.
Philadelphia, since Jalen Hurts took over, they're in the playoffs every year. Josh Allen in Buffalo, they're in the playoffs every year because he is a really good quarterback. We know about Mahomes, and you look at these other teams, including tonight's opponent, Seattle, where Geno's good, but he's not in that group.
Good-ish.
He's good-ish.
Yeah.
And, you know, C.J. Stroud is a guy, if he looks to be this good, they're going to make the playoffs every year. And Kirk Cousins is a great one because they now he's in Atlanta, and they've been elevated, and he was really good in Minnesota. And Jordan Love's another one where it looks like they might be a regular playoff participant because he is also very good.
I mean, I probably shouldn't speak in the total absolute that I was. It's not automatic that you go to the playoffs, but to sort of go against what Ben is saying, usually you do. Like, yes, there are outliers. Maybe Burrow's not going to make it this year. And Kirk Cousins didn't make it every year.
No.
And he's someone that's sort of like, right? He's a tweener anyway.
6 years in Minnesota, he was 2 for 6
okay.
in playoff appearances.
Yeah, so I mean, and he's a tweener anyway. I know some people don't think he's an elite quarterback, at least not at night or whatever. But the point is I disagree with this idea that teams just like, they've got a 2 or 3 year window and then it's over. I disagree.
No, the window is like, as big as your head coach and your quarterback.
Totally.
That's your window.
And if you are a believer in these two guys that the Niners have, and I obviously am, it is my belief that the 49ers should be dancing in some form of relevance every year. Like the 49ers in this moment, as maddening as this year has been so far, do they not sort of like, I don't know. Do they not have your trust? Do you not believe that this is going to take some sort of a positive turn?
They do have my trust, but if the trust was at 100 before the year, it's probably at a 90 or 91 now. Some of the trust has been eroded by some of the things that we've seen. You have a special teams unit that is a mess. You've got a red zone offense that is struggling. You've got a defensive coordinator who hasn't yet found his stride. And you've got 2 bad losses out of your first 5 games. So can the trust be built back up? Of course. It's like a stock on the stock market. It goes up and it goes down. And right now, Shanahan's stock is still high, in my opinion.
Sure.
But it has slipped a little bit from where it was before the year started.
I guess the point I'm making is also a broader one, which is I just don't agree that the NFL is not for long. I agree that the NFL is not for long if you're talking about your health, if you're talking about your average career length, your team's loyalty, you know what I mean? Like, there's a number of ways we can do it, but I don't buy the idea that if you're good, it only lasts for 3 years, and then you're not good because it's the NFL. No, that I don't think that that's the case at all.
No, and it all depends on a number of other factors, and I think the Cincinnati example is a good one because the structure of ownership and front office, I don't think, is very good. And the head coach, Zach Taylor, I thought that he was one of these wunderkinds, but he has not shown a great ability to win a lot of these games.
I still don't know what to make of him. There's certain guys.
That's the thing.
McDermott in Buffalo is another one where I'm like, okay, like, you guys are good-ish. You're good. You're
right.
Good. You're a factor. You have great quarterbacks. But I still don't know, like, you know what I mean? A lot of coaches. If you gave me John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, Sean Payton.
Mike Tomlin.
There are guys where I'm like, oh, I know what they try to do. I know what their identity is. I know who they are. I know the way they go about their business. Zach Taylor. Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
They've been here for a while. I don't feel like I know the first thing.
No, and Zach Taylor is a great offensive mind, yet he's got a couple of wild cards on the offense, and defensively they never seem to be very good. And so if Burrow and Jamar and company and Higgins and all the rest of the fellows, if they aren't totally popping in their A game, they lose games. And Shanahan, I think, is cut from a different cloth where he can go out there and he can beat you 17-16 based on the way he likes to design offense. And Cincinnati tries to beat you 38-35.
They want to lean on their offense, as they should. They've got great offensive players. But, this is another reason where as much as we make fun of Dan Campbell because of opening press conferences or coming to Levi's Stadium and just playing way too loose with your
decisions.
We're
going to bite a kneecap off.
Yeah, all that stuff.
All that said, I would still, man, I'd go to bat for Dan Campbell all day.
Of course.
I know more about that guy in a year and a half than I do about more than half the coaches in the NFL.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and 3 toes. I will beat your ass.
There you go. That's how you get an Applebee's commercial. Like he's
well, they have an identity.
He changed a culture.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing to do, right? He changed a culture.
Come on, Deese.
Think about
Deese Nuts.
Robert Saleh in New York. I don't know if he tried to change the culture, but he went in there with a certain approach. And when the quarterback came in, they clearly were not on the same page culture-wise, and now he's gone.
Well, he brought in a culture killer. And they did exactly what the Niners did with Trey Lance and didn't have the emergency break glass situation the Niners had with Brock Purdy. They drafted Zach Wilson, and he's no good.
Yep.
So then they had no choice but to sign up for the culture killer. And guess what? They killed the culture.
Well, not yet. They're 2-3. I think that the team is going to be better now, but he killed the coach. That's for sure. I don't know if he killed the culture.
Well, wasn't Hackett his hand-picked play caller?
Right. Hackett's still there on the staff. But he's just not calling plays anymore.
Right, but he does. His hand-picked play caller, he's already lost the role.
There you go.
I mean.
And again, you talk about culture and organization and fit, and you've got an owner in New York who is not a very good owner and a GM who traded picks unnecessarily to bring in Rodgers, yep. And the culture and the structure here is far more stable.
No doubt.
So that's another thing you can put in Sharpie.
Our guy on the Niner beat, Jake Hutchinson, will join us in a little bit over an hour. We are absolutely taking your calls all afternoon. How you feeling? How would you describe the feeling in your belly right now? 888-957-9570. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And we're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. Coming up next, Chris Sims says something about Brock Purdy that I'm pretty sure he's never said before. That's coming up on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.